And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We have historian Dave Doherty, co-author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution. He's going to join us live, and we're going to talk about his book. That should be fun. Also, promises, promises, just like old robo producer making me promises, but not doing anything but standing in the window. And then we're going to review Not Fickle Faith, That's For Sure. And then we'll close it out with Holding It Together.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. I can crack my voice anytime I want. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for flying airplanes, surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. Yeah, he's thinking, what is going on? Well, robo producer's throwing an airplane right in front of my window, a paper airplane. He just doesn't know how to make one or throw one. That's what we're working on there. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but you win.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed any help in
it. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All right, folks, you are in for a treat. That's what I said. So there's a book that came out called The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution. Now, who's happier to hear than me the phrase politically incorrect? Oh, I love that. Dave Doherty on the phone. I believe he's the co-author. Him and Brother Larry wrote this book together. I want him to tell us about it. Dave, are you there with us on the phone?
I am. Good to be with you tonight.
Great to have you on. You have a fantastic first name. Your parents were wise. I appreciate that. All right.
Yes, well, I'm a Christian like you, trust me.
Yeah, so that's...
And, you know, that's one of the big things we worry about today, you know, the war against Christianity.
Exactly right. All right, talk to me about this book. You wrote this, and so first of all, your title is fantastic, Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution. What, first of all, why did you write the book? And then the second question is, why did you give it that title?
Well, we wrote the book because there's so much politically correct interpretation going on, which is totally bogus, as to why we fought the War of the Revolution. According to the progressives, it was essentially rich men, slavers, slave owners who wanted to make more money, and they felt they could make more money if they were independent of Britain. Therefore, they cooked this whole thing up, got the poor people to fight for them, and won their independence so that they could make a killing. Now, that's the politically incorrect line that is being taught to our kids in school, to our older kids that are in college, and it's held by the progressives to be the actual word. Well, it's not. Not at all. So we wanted to write something against that. The second thing is Regnery Publishing, of course, has a politically incorrect series. So since they had that, we said it dovetails perfectly, and we contacted them to publish this book, and they readily agreed. So that's how it all came about.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I like that because you guys kind of thought that through and put it all together. So let's start with a major premise, and then we'll get into maybe some of the different stories or the different historical elements. The big premise about what's going on is there's an attempt to alter history in favor of political persuasion today. Is that underlying mentality?
Absolutely correct. You have that absolutely right. I mean, they have an agenda. They have an ideology. And so they have been rewriting history to fit that ideology. Probably the worst case is done by the communist Howard Zinn, but the socialists, Beard and his wife, they have a very popular textbook that the progressives are in love with. Me, I would tell you not to read either one because most of it is phony.
Well, that's, I think, what's bothersome is the bigger problem is that the educational system that supports this approach is also in partnership with trying to accomplish something from a political perspective, also has a common goal, as some of these false historians do, to get things to alter to their favor. So they're, from that educational point of view, they're not going to say, wait, truth matters when it is comparative to them getting advantage when the non-truth or the falsehoods come. Is that pretty much accurate?
You're exactly right. I couldn't agree more with you. Exactly the way you said it is what's happening. You have to understand that 97% to 98% of all of our university professors are progressives, liberals, and somewhere over 90% of all teachers in K-12 are the same way. And both of those have very strong unions. You have the teachers' union for the public schools, but you have the American Association of University Professors, AAUP, which is extremely strong, and it books no treason on the part of professors.
What, for a Christian parent who's listening to this show and kind of knows, yeah, I'm really kind of concerned about putting my child in an education system that is loaded with baloney, and most of those don't come with bread and mustard, what then should they do? Where should they direct kids? Private school?
Homeschool is the answer. That's the only, I mean, I get that question all the time when I talk to various places, and the answer right now is homeschool.
Now that,
there's Hillsborough College Michigan, that's an excellent university, but as far as the K-12, you got to homeschool or find charter schools that are still conservative, and that's a real tough job.
All right, and then from that college, because, I mean, we do have a number in San Diego of private Christian schools that are attached to really great ministries.
Well, so those,
Yeah, so you have those working together with homeschool, which is really important. But let's talk about that next level, that college, the collegiate level, that master's degree level. Are there universities that are still holding its own and saying, look, we stand for, you know, something purposeful? We know that that's not Harvard, Yale, or any of those. That's out the door.
No, none of the Ivy League.
None of the Ivy League. So, but what is? I mean, there are some universities that have or appear to have, like an Oral Roberts University, a Liberty University, seem to have that Christian mindset. And I've heard pretty good things about Liberty University. Do you know much about it?
I really haven't. That hasn't been the area that really I've spent my time in. I would just simply say that the private university, private universities, I'm sure there's some out there that still can give a good Christian education, but they're going to be few and far between. And all I would say to your listeners is, find them and let me know. It's just not been an area that I've gone after.
Yeah, that's good. I like your answer. That's a great response, Dave, because you want to get some of that knowledge, because in the future people will be talking to you and you'll have some answers.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, I learn stuff every day. Every time I talk to somebody like you, I don't know what you learn, but I learn something.
Yeah, no, I learned every day. I learned that I got through another day because my wife didn't kill me in the morning. So let me ask you this. Give me a couple examples. Like, what's the deal on Yankee Doodle?
Well, yeah, Yankee Doodle is kind of a funsy thing. But if I could, I'd like to kind of divert the attention for a second. One of the main things that we brought out in this entire book is that this was a very popular revolt. Now, it wasn't a majority revolt, but among the people who were for the revolution, the patriots, it was the little people who won the war, not the founding fathers, even, although they were great men. You could say, well, it was George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and whatnot. Yeah, it was, but it really wasn't. It was Joe Blow, Joe Sixpack. Back in 1774, the First Continental Congress generated the Articles of Association, which established a full boycott against British goods and an embargo with England and the English dominions. And trade with England and the English dominions fell by 94% in 1 year. So suddenly, the United States had to be self-sufficient. And there were hardships and whatnot, but this was enforced at the local level by committees of association. Now, these tended to be a little sluggish sometimes, but essentially they said, this is what we have to do. And if you trade with England, we're not going to help you raise your barn or bring in your hay or anything like that. And then it got worse, and the Tories then went to the big cities. But essentially, you had tens of thousands of people who signed on to the Articles of Association, each one in a town, city, or county, or whatnot, which were absolutely treasonable documents. Every bit as treasonable as the Declaration of Independence. And they were signed like guys like you and I. And those guys and those structures, those committees, were what kept the thing going for 8 long years of warfare. And somewhere around 120,000, somewhere around 120,000 Americans died in that war. The left will tell you only 5,000 or so were killed in battle. Yeah, that's the smallest of all the numbers. How about the 20,000 that died of disease? How about the 20,000 that were captured and they died in captivity? How many were killed by Tories and this and that and whatnot? It's a gruesome tale. It was the worst war in our history with respect to casualties for the people.
Wow, that's pretty intense information.
That's pretty intense, right? Yeah.
So the book is filled with the historical truths,
right?
And it's also combating the non-historical truths. Correct?
That's correct. It's a serious scholarly work. It really is. It's not puffy, although it's written in kind of a funsy style, and it has a lot of the white space, and it has a lot of little by things that you can look at. Do you know this and that, and do you know that? And then one other thing we do is we grade the British and the Patriot commanders in every battle, you know, A to F. And you might be surprised, Washington sometimes gets an F. And those are things that help you kind of understand the war and understand what was going on.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So where can people pick up this book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution?
Oh, anywhere. Anywhere fine books are sold. And, of course, excuse me, on the Internet, Amazon.com has it already. Oh, excuse me. I guess I just talked too long there.
Now, don't worry about it. So then they also have it on Regnery, so you can get it at Regnery Publishing, correct?
Right, yeah. That's the publisher. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they can do that, and that's under the PIG, which is the Politically Incorrect Guide series.
That's right. Now, the thing that I liked about the title, though, we said Making America Great for the First Time.
Yeah.
You know.
That's great. I love
and that's what we did. I mean, we were absolutely unique. It all goes back to American exceptionalism and the four pillars of exceptionalism that Obama doesn't even know exist. You know, we were exceptional then, and we're fighting hard to keep that exceptionalism because they're based on, well, Protestant Christianity, of course, common law, the sanctity of private property, and free market capitalism. Now, as you well know, all four of those are under assault, and I mean really under assault. It won't be long before those are all gone if we can't stop it.
Yeah, well, that's where we need to be as Christians, ever, ever diligent in prayer and in communicating the truth and biblical
Absolutely.
Truth and historical truth. That'd be kind of nice if the schools would get on board instead of trying to squish and smush everything. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, it really would.
All right,
really
Dave,
would.
Thank you so much for joining us on the radio here in San Diego. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to reach your listeners.
Now, I appreciate it as well, and you have a fantastic weekend, all right?
Okay, same to you.
God Bye bless now. You. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience. Here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
All right, it's David James. My friend Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola, is here. And Sue, you were just telling me that allergies and termites have something in common?
Dave, if you have a problem with termites in your home, but also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity, we offer an array of termite control services that will be able to solve your problem without putting your health at risk. Our Ecola heat process uses extreme heat instead of chemicals to kill and remove termites and any other pests that may be infesting your home.
Yes, and you were telling me about the awesome electro gun treatments. It sends electricity through the wood, and you use it as part of your termite control services?
They're very effective. So if you are concerned with your health and are sensitive to chemicals, know that we have an array of options for termite control.
Don't sacrifice your health or the health of your home. Call Ecola Termite Pest Control Services now. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Scientists are increasing their efforts to harness the strongest, most dependable, most unstoppable force of energy on Earth, the surging ocean tides. Twice a day in most places, tides come in and go out like clockwork around the world. We can no more stop the tides than we can stop time. And time moves on God's schedule, not ours. If you haven't thought about the march of time lately, do so today, mainly to be sure you are ready for time to end and eternity to begin. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God marks time. on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All right, want to let you know a couple things very important. This segment brought to you by Whitefields Ministries, our good friend Steve Wheeler and his wonderful wife Coral and their fantastic staff, committed to taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Even though there's actually not corners, education. I don't know what education is. Is education a word? I don't think that's a word. What do you think education means? That's not even a spoonerism.
You learn how to encase things.
The educations? Oh, that's good. I like that. We're making up words. See, that's the sign of higher intelligence. You know who told me that? Making up words is the sign of higher intelligence. This some dumb guy. Anyway, that was a joke. How do you guys not remember that? The old joke from the 70s. Laughing. Roland Martin. Come on. Anyhow, Whitefields Ministries, they are committed to getting an education at a seminary level for rural pastors all over the world. They are committed to clean drinking water in villages that use cesspools as their water systems, and they are looking for prayer partners. You think, oh, Dave's about to ask me for money. Nope. Take your wallet and put it away. Take your checkbook and put it back. Take your dollar, put it back in your pocket. I'm asking you for 10 seconds over the next 5 days. 10 seconds. To lift up Whitefields Ministries in prayer, period. Romans 15:30, join in my struggle by praying for me. You can join any struggle by praying and becoming a part of the cause through prayer. Just mention them in prayer. Whitefields Ministries, if you want more information, go to whitefields.org. Better you should learn to pray and connect to most of these things first so that you know what it is you're connecting to and you can be a part of that advancement of ministry, not just for Whitefields, for any ministry, personally. You're welcome to call them at 760-846-8610, 760-846-8610. But I encourage you to go to whitefields.org because they have the testimonies and they have the videos and the pictures and the different stuff, and it's cooler. That's all. A phone is cool, but the website is cooler. Let's get ready to wordle. It's like rumble with the word. Now, that one I made up on purpose. I don't get anything for that. Wordle instead of rumble. Nothing. Really? A blah? Really? Nothing? Okay. Feeling like, Dr. Evil right there. Nothing? Zero? Okay. Let's talk about promises. Promises. What do we got? All right. Let's go. What is a promise? People, I'm going to promise this. Well, that's good. That's a good question. Let's look at the dictionary definition of promise. A declaration that something will or will not be done. That's a promise. Now, watch this. The Bible actually has a definition of the word promise. Isn't that amazing? So you can think, well, there is a dictionary definition, of which there is. But there is also a biblical definition. The word promise is epagelion. Epagelion. E-P-A-N-G-E-L-I-A-N. Actually, it could be epangelion or epangelion. Either way would probably work. And in the biblical definition, it's an announcement for a pledge. Watch this. To start walking towards a commitment. To start walking towards a commitment. Now, here's a little bit of fun fact for you. We'd like to give you a little bit of information that'll make you smile. Here's a fun fact you probably never heard. The promises of God in the Bible, there are approximately 1,260 promises in the Bible. Bet you never heard that before. 1,260. What kind of promises did God give to Abraham? Or to King David? To Abraham, saying that he would have offspring that would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. By the way, the stars in the sky, just for ridiculously literal sake, because it wasn't literal, but for literal sake, in that part of the country, would have been 8,000 stars to the naked eye at that time. No, there's many more stars, but you couldn't see them. Number two, what kind of promise did David the king receive from God? I'm going to establish your throne. It's going to last forever. Who do we know is a part of that promise of that throne? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who's on the throne forever. All right, question. What kind of promises has God given to you that if you follow him, if you obey him, if you acknowledge him, if you acknowledge the testimony he gave regarding his son, you get to live forever. You understand that promise he gave to you? The promise that he gave to you comes out of John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. You have the right to become a child of God. Now I'm going to blow your mind. Ready? Because I like doing this. What's the difference between the promise that God gave to Abraham and King David and the one that he gave to you regarding salvation? What's the difference between the promise that God gave to King David and to Abraham and the promise that God gave to you regarding salvation? There isn't a difference in the promises of God. If God gave you a promise that is based on authoritative word, if God gave you a promise that is absolute scriptural and biblical, there's no difference between that promise and the promise gave to Abraham or the promises given to King David. If you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, accept and obey him as he's Lord and Savior of your life, you are going to be saved. That's the promise of God. You will live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise. What's the difference between that promise and the promise for Abraham and his seed? Nothing. Zero. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20, and then we'll break. As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. How fantastic is that? It's unbelievable. Take a short break and come back and stay on this subject. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Coming right back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared his thoughts on how Christians take their freedoms for granted.
I think we have taken too many of our freedoms for granted. And we don't like conflict. It's interesting. I was actually reading that this morning in my devotional in Acts chapter 13, where Paul, still called Saul, was taking the gospel to a government official, proconsul. And there's this antagonist, a sorcerer, who was basically blocking it and everything. And man, Paul just ripped into him, called him the son of the devil and all kinds of other things. And we hear, well, you know, we don't want conflict. And look, I don't like conflict either, but some things are worth defending. The truth is worth defending.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
A flight attendant is being praised for showing respect to an elderly flyer who just wanted to read her Bible on a recent flight. This is truth itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. A frequent traveler by the name of Sherelle Jones took to Facebook to tell a story about an airline flight, and it didn't take long for the post to go viral. The altercation reportedly began when a middle-aged man arrived at his seat on a crowded flight but refused to sit down. According to Jones' story, a Muslim man didn't want his seat. His seat was next to an elderly woman reading her Bible. Disgusted, the man immediately summoned the flight attendant and demanded a new seat. The outraged man proceeded to tell the young flight attendant that he refused to sit next to an infidel. So the flight attendant did what any good customer service representative would do, then explained that she would try to find another seat. About 10 minutes later, the flight attendant returned and explained that she had one seat available. According to Joan's story, the flight attendant said, "It is our company policy to never move a person from economy to first class, but being that it would be some sort of scandal to force a person to sit next to an unpleasant person, the captain agreed to make the switch to first class." Before the man could reply, the flight attendant gestured to the elderly woman with the Bible and continued, "Madam, if you would so kindly retrieve your personal items, we would like to move you to the comfort of first class, as the captain doesn't want you to sit next to such an unpleasant person." It didn't take long for passengers in the surrounding seats to applaud, while some even gave a standing ovation. These days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You want to reach the show, David Spoon, KPRZ.com. If you can come down to the studio in the next 4 or 5 hours, I won't be here. But you can come down. You actually can't get in because it closes at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you mean in the front door?
Yeah, I don't even know if they can get... Is the building lock up like at 6? How does that work?
Lockdown.
They do?
Don't even try it.
Wow. But they can come and see where you do all the producing. That could be a fun tour.
If they honk really loud, I can come to the window and wave from the 5th floor.
You're not in a room that has windows.
That's why I said really loud. Oh, no. Yeah, here, no, they can't. Not here.
No, not
there. But I can go where you are.
Oh, I see. That'd be a really loud honk.
Technically, I have 4 windows in this room.
Okay. We were talking about promises, and understanding, especially if you understand 2 Corinthians 1, 18 through 20, how, in fact, the promise that God made to Abraham and the promise that God made to King David is no greater than the promise that God made to you in regards to your response to his offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I know that people want to make it bigger, or, you know, they're all better, they're all Old Testament people, but that, of course, is absurd. It's interesting in 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20, and I'm just going to go over it again real quick. As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Yes. Not maybe, yes, in Christ. Through Jesus, we get the nod. Our amen, which is Hebrew for let it be so or so be it, to God's coming promises. And when we acknowledge that, that glorifies God. When you say to God's promise, amen, so be it, or let it be so, you are bringing honor and glory to the Lord because you are exercising faith. Because you are exercising trust and hope. And that brings glory to the Lord. I want to make sure you understand something about God and his promises. Do we have a sound for this one? We don't have a sound for this. It's called Not Fickle Faith. That's for sure. What are we talking about? James chapter 1. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. God is not this bouncy, bouncy, bouncy person that you and I tend to be. You know how sometimes you're wishy-washy? Do you ever feel wishy-washy? I feel wishy-washy from time to time. I don't think that's wrong to say. It's honest. It's not great to be. But there's times where I think, I'm a little wishy-washy. Okay, I agree. But the Lord doesn't like us bouncing up and down like that. He likes that steadiness. And just for a verification, James 1:17 says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, God's promises are as stable and more stable than the sun, because the faithfulness and steadiness of God in James 1:17 is compared to the variableness of shade and how it changes with the sun and the movement of the sun. Illustrating that the sun itself, the sun in our solar system, is less stable than the promises of God. And oh, by the way, if you are a scientist, a rocket scientist, you know that there is an instability in the sun. Even though it's keeping us consistent now, it has some instability built into it. God, way ahead of the curve, goes, yeah, my stability is more faithful than the sun that has all the planets rotating about it that I created. Like, wow. So you might be thinking, well, okay, but why are the promises of God so diligent? Why are they so faithful? Why are they so cool? I'm so glad you asked me that. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 19. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. God swears by himself and then confirms it by an oath. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs, he confirmed it with an oath. Thank you, God. God did that so that by two unchangeable things, his commitment and his oath, in which it is also impossible for God to lie, we who have fled take hold of that hope. And that's our anchor. We have this hope as the anchor for our soul. Let me tell you something about the promises of God. Remember Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know what you and I do? We doubt his promise. We go, I don't feel like you're anywhere around me. So we doubt the promise of God. We doubt that faith has help. We doubt that God is with us, that God is for us, that he's on our side, that all things work together for good. If we actually believed all things work together for good, do you realize that we wouldn't be afraid of all things? If you actually believed that everything worked together for good, what would you be concerned about? I want you to answer that. If you believed that everything really worked together for good, why would you be afraid ever? The problem is that we don't believe the promises of God are genuine and real and steady. But it's an ironic element, since God gives two unchangeable things: that he's the promise maker, and that he gives his own oath as security. He says, I promise you, and I take an oath. Both of those are immovable elements. God's not fickle. And those promises are what we're supposed to utilize to endure, to keep going, to push forward. You know, when you're struggling and you forget that God is with you, you're not hanging on the promises of God. Do you know when your life has a lot of instability and you're not trusting, that you're not hanging on the promises of God? Do you know when something happens and you can't see how it can turn to good? You're not hanging on the promises of God. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at me. I'm terrible at this. I have the worst patience level that I know of. God tests me all the time. I pass about 20%. Not too good. That hanging on the promises of God, the scripture says that's our hope. The hope of the promises of God is an anchor to our soul. Do you know the anchor to the soul? I mean, you know the imagery. It's like you're in a storm and the winds are coming and the waves are going and you're the boat and you're bouncing back and forth. And if you drop an anchor, you won't drift aimlessly. Well, the anchor that we drop is confidence in the promises of God. I'm not even talking to you about those personal promises. I'm not even discussing that. That's a whole separate subject. I'm talking about the genuine promises of God, all those important ones, that he hears you, that he knows you, that he loves you, that he's with you, that he works with you, that he directs you, that he's committed to you, that he's got eternity for you. Every one of those promises we're supposed to be hanging on as an anchor to our soul that keeps us steady instead of blowing up or blowing apart or just being driven by the wind. God is not fickle. I am fickle. God is not unsteady. I am unsteady. God is not unfaithful. I am unfaithful. God is consistent. There is never a problem in the pipeline on heaven's end when there's a clog in the pipe between heaven and earth. It's us. And we're the ones who are bouncing around, not using the promises of God as the anchor to our soul. The hope that those promises will be fulfilled as the very anchor to keep us steady in the stormiest times. Guess whose fault that is? Ours. It's my fault. It's your fault. It's not God's fault. He's up there going, I'm right here. Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. And we're up there going, duh. Might not like The Simpsons, but many of us act like Homer Simpson, just to be honest. Duh. Okay, just a point of fact. So when we come back, we're going to look at how we need to hold it all together, because that's kind of important, too. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. But now I'm down on my knees.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
God has given the world extra time to respond to his offer of forgiveness.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Sheridan Voicy. Sheridan writes, last spring, I decided to cut down the rose bush by our back door. In the 3 years we lived in our home, it hadn't produced many flowers, and its ugly, fruitless branches were now creeping in all directions. But life got busy, and my gardening plan got delayed. It was just as well. Only a few weeks later, that rose bush burst into bloom like I'd never seen before. Hundreds of big white flowers, rich in perfume, hung over the back door, flowed into our yard, and showered the ground with beautiful petals. Sheridan continues, my rosebush's revival reminded me of Jesus' parable of the fig tree in Luke 13:6-9. In Israel, it was customary to give fig trees 3 years to produce fruit. If they didn't, they were cut down so the soil could be better used. In Jesus' story, a gardener asks his boss to give one particular tree a fourth year to produce. In context, verses 1 through 5, the parable implies this. The Israelites hadn't lived as they should, and God could justly judge them. But God is patient and had given extra time for them to turn to him, be forgiven, and bloom. God wants all people to flourish and has given extra time so they can. Whether we are still journeying toward faith or are praying for unbelieving family and friends, his patience is good news for all of us. Spend time in God's Word every day of the week with the Our Daily Bread mobile app and ebook. Go to getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
As we look out on the world scene, we see little to stimulate hope for the future. We see a world tied up with tensions, paralyzed by prejudices, and shaken by fear.
Billy Graham.
If our trust today is only in what we can see with our eyes and read in our newspapers, there would be every reason to be discouraged. But I have good news for the discouraged. I have a secret to whisper in the ears of the distressed and depressed people of these times. Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Yes, God promises hope if you choose to follow Jesus Christ. There's hope for peace and joy in this life, and hope for a perfect life with God in heaven.
There is hope because Christ has come. He has been crucified and raised from the dead and is a living Savior today.
And today can be the day you find that hope by surrendering to Jesus. Learn how to do that at this website, findpeacewithgod.net, from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We've been talking about the promises of God. And there's classic hymns, you know, about the promises of God. Standing on the promise, standing on the promises of God. You know that. And there's an element there. You have to recognize a promise, which in the biblical term is an announcement for a pledge to start walking to a commitment that God has made promises to you and I. And those promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. They're not fickle. They don't bounce around. They're more stable than the sun. And what we know for sure is God's promises are based on two immutable things, in which God is the promise maker, and he gives an oath confirming that promise. Wow. And that promise is a part of the hope that we have that is the anchor to our soul. God's promises gives us stability. And the way we seize those promises gives us a maintaining position in our faith. And when you let go of those promises, man, you're letting go of the great gifts in the kingdom that enable you to get through. I've got news for you. The promise of what is to come is why you go through what you go through. Can't lose that for a second. Not a second. Those trials have a payoff. That's the promise of God. Can't get through that without that. Listen to this. In Psalm 119, verse 50, my comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. I want you to listen to this. Keeping our focus on the promises that God has given us holds us together, even if everything around us is falling apart. You got to hear this. Talk about that's the line I really want to use right there. Keeping our focus on the promises of God that God has given us holds us together. Even if everything around us is falling apart. Psalm 119, verse 50, my comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. Just as a Christian who walks and lives and, you know, tries to figure it out like everybody else, I have to say that knowing that God is with me is probably one of the most important promises. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. I mean, that we need that. He's with us. And in Hebrews, it tells us in chapter 12 that he's with us. We can be content with what we have because he's promised he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's what we need. We need somebody who will never leave us, never forsake us, never abandon us, because people will not do that the way that God will. If the person that you're closest to knew everything about you on the inside, you're going to tell me you'd be surprised that they get up, run out of the room and scream? But God does know everything about you and is still with you and still chose you. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's cool. Listen to Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God that he gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. This is what Joshua told the children of Israel between Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the book of Joshua. Look at what he says. The Lord God has fulfilled his good promises. Every promise has been fulfilled. They have never failed. Not one has failed. And there is not one promise that God gave to you and to me that has ever failed. Not one. Have you ever been fail? Have you ever had people in your life make promises and that failed? I think my calculator goes that high. I just don't think I could remember all of them. But God's promises never fail. And all of those promises that are all through Scripture, 1,260 promises in the Bible, not the least of which is that he's with us and he's for us and things work together for good and that he's got an eternity for us and he hears us and he knows us and he cares about us. He'll never forsake us. And he wants to help us and he protects us and he guides us and he encourages us and he forgives us and he heals us. How many do you want me to go on and say? They are all there. We just access so little, don't we? All those great promises. Not one has failed. And we focus on the wind. Wow. We're dumb. I mean, I don't know. Well, you shouldn't say that. I'm dumb. I don't need anybody to witness that. I don't need the devil to tell me I can tell I'm not doing the promises of God right. I know. I need to be reading Psalm, 103, going through the benefits, all these benefits that come from connecting to God. It's like, I don't look at that. I look, how am I going to get through this? I am a classic child of the Most High God. Once God does a great miracle, the next thing I say is, well, what are you going to do for me now? Instead of hanging on the promises of God and saying, the Lord has never failed me, nor shall he ever. And that, by the way, when you give that amen, gives glory to God. Love it. Love it. It's awesome. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 70-hour break. Then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity, kind of. Talk to you then.
The Christian Station.
Why should we actively and publicly defend religious freedom? We'll look to the Apostle Paul for an answer next on Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint.
In late May, Alan Sears, the founder of the Alliance for Defending Freedom, was awarded the Wilberforce Award for his and the Alliance's efforts on behalf of religious freedom. At the ceremony, several speakers testified about Sears' commitment to securing this most basic of rights and the example he sets for all Christians. But there's another example of the importance of knowing and asserting our rights in matters of faith I'd like to tell you about. It's an example that predates Sears' efforts by nearly 2,000 years. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. On several occasions in the book of Acts, Paul asserts his rights as a Roman citizen to further the work of the gospel. The first is related in Acts 16. Paul, Silas, and Luke arrive in Philippi in what is now Greece. While they were there, Paul casts out of a slave girl what Luke calls a python spirit, a reference to the serpent that guarded the oracle at Delphi. The girl's owners, angry at the loss of revenue from her fortune-telling, drag Paul and Silas before the local magistrates. The magistrates beat them with rods and throw them into jail. The next day, the magistrates send lictors, Roman police, to the jail to tell Paul and Silas that they're free to go. Paul refuses to leave. He tells them that he is a Roman citizen and thus had the right